Let's go to John chapter 17. What is known as the Lord's Prayer. Those of you that have been here a while know how we've talked about this before, but what's known as the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, is really the disciples' prayer. And John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And it's different in tone and everything else, but as I told you, we're going to spend a day or two or three looking at theology. And so it's imperative that we understand what was his prayer to the Father. Let me just read it quickly. Go to chapter 16, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in proverbs or in parables. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in parables, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every one to his own way, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now that was the discussion with the disciples about who he was. And it doesn't matter at which place or at which time that you go back into the world of cause and effect, then you leave peace. It doesn't matter whether you do it for a minute or for an hour or for some very important concern about self. What's going on, Gary?
I was thinking how this builds for Christ himself, how this builds to that point where he was able to say that. You know, he talked about he healed people so that he would know he could and give it up. Who he was to his own self. It's quite amazing that this is where he ends up with. And then the same thing happens to us. You know, it takes experiential things to know who we are in him.
And again, it happens because the only reason it's necessary is because of our innate rebellion.
But it had to happen to him too. The same thing, right?
Well, because he was the first seed. Now there's no excuse.
But he wasn't innately rebellious or anything.
As Son of Man, his rebellion is innate. Because he was Son of Man, he was fully Son of Man and fully Son of God. This is why this theology is so critical.
See, I've got idolatry.
I know.
Regarding him, and that just reveals it right here that, well, Jesus was different.
He overcame the world.
Yeah, he overcame.
But he overcame it by the way, by constantly yielding his own ideas and his own thoughts to the Father, so that he was only about the Father's will, and he created it. Again, Pentecost and the whole He was the first seed, the first pecan, if you will. And he went through the process so that he would be able to, you would be in a position where you would never again have to think about something. You'd never again have to, there's nothing that you go through. You have no tests. If you have any, then you're back on your own devices. It's all him or it's no him. It can't be a little bit. And he's already finished the way. You see that? But what can happen is we can use our own understanding of who Christ was, and we think we can understand him with our mind. We can't. Because he is a new creation, a new thing. When he that's the whole meaning of the Trinity. I mean, you
can never predict it.
But what I'm saying to you, you can't even begin to see this until you can't even understand or have any perception of the kingdom of God unless you're born again. You cannot be born again until you come to the end of this born again, this thing, this the first birth. No. Talking to his disciples, he said these incredible words. You are they that continue with me in my temptation, in my test, in my thlispus. But his thlispus isn't a test anymore because the outcome is assured. That's what we read yesterday, day before yesterday, when his let's go to Isaiah 40. I thought when we studied this that I should have spent some more time on this, but I didn't.
Isaiah 45?
40.
40.
Thank you, Ronnie. I knew I could depend on you. Verse 9. Verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities, or the people of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand. And his arm, and the word arm is zeruah. It means right arm, but it's the idea that it's the progeny. It's the seed. It has nothing to do with the human race. It's the seed that came from God. That's just sort of an aside. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Better translation, his work is assured. His reward is with him. He carries his own, he carries everything within him that's necessary for everything. And his outcome is assured. There's no ifs. There's no possibility of you. There's no debate. There's no. If you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you would say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea." And again, I say this all the time, but it's not the size of the mustard seed that's important. It's the fact that the mustard seed has no doubt that it's a mustard seed. If you know who you are, if you know your life is Christ, if you know that your only position is abandonment because who of you contain is Christ in you, the hope of glory, then you know. There's no debating about it. There's no discussions about it. You know.
This reminds me of the scene of walking on water. He just puts his foot out and steps.
I mean, that's the whole purpose of Christ incarnate. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us so that He would perfect the way, a new way, not an improved way, but a brand new way that never existed before. And now that way is assured. The only way it cannot be assured is when you start thinking about it. That's why you cannot. I mean, it's only to the poor, the failures, the offscouring, that this can be heard, because everybody else has got a plan of how this thing is going to help them. Remember the famous story, but I had a really good friend that was a professional golfer, and he was very good, and he'd been a teaching pro his whole life, and he was waiting so that we turned 50 so he could join the senior tour, and he was good enough he was like a Hale Irwin. He could have won every tournament. And so I talked to him every time I went back to Arizona. And I thought he understood, because you're starting to ask the right questions. And then his question is, well, how can a professional golfer use this? And I just hit the ceiling. Like I do with some of you when you ask me stupid questions. Because I think, my God, you must see by now. And then something that comes out of your mouth proves that you don't. Or it proves that your mind has gotten in the way of what you really see. Can we have it as a given that you cannot comprehend that which is blessed by using that which is cursed? Can everybody understand that? If you can't, then you have to go running around and thinking that you're going to find out something by you working to understand it, memorize scripture, and do everything. Well, you better get going, because you got a lot of things to do. This is the simplest thing. This is an idiot savant can understand it. A functionally illiterate person can understand it. In fact, they can understand it better than we can. That's why, you know, it sounds good for you to say, well, I was thinking about. Well, every time you tell me I was thinking about, I know that you've fallen from grace. Not because you shouldn't think about it. That's not the point. The point is that I pray that by now it's settled. That it's assured, that you know that his reward is with him, and the outcome is assured, and the only thing that you have any dependence in is the Father, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That you've understood what the mind of Christ means. It means total emptying. Not running up there and visiting and trying to... Because when you run up there to visit, then you can't take that part, because then you're letting the horses out. And you'll automatically return to the kingdom of darkness. If you don't know it's the kingdom of darkness, then you got to go do stuff. You got to go run around and figure out. But if you know that you know, then your only thing you do is repent. Am I communicating to anybody? As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. What is the simplicity? It's finished. It's done. It's perfect. I have been chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. I have nothing but peace left before me. I have never again a struggle. My warfare is over.
I've seen how, even though I see what you say, and I believe what you say, and I understand what you say,
it makes you mad.
No, it does not improve the mind which perceived it.
Your mind didn't perceive it.
Well, whatever perceived it, my thinker would think, oh good, now you got that one. Log it away for use later. I mean, that's what the thinker does. And so it doesn't... Deception is around every corner, I guess is my point.
Yeah, the moment you... But you don't... It doesn't have to be. The moment you can say, I understand that I owe my mind and my emotions absolutely nothing. That I know that I have been apprehended by a power that's a jillion times greater than I am. I never again will ask my mind what to do about something or how to understand something. But I know this sounds like I'm against thinking. I mean, I am for thinking more than you've ever dreamed of until you come and until you've pushed all the barriers to the edge of time and space itself and find out, my God, this is all flesh is as grass, and the glory of the flesh is as a flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of God abideth forever. The word of God is Jesus. The word of God in placement is now location of sphere. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. But now watch. I can look at somebody wrong or something can happen and boom, they're back into themselves because something offended you. I can, whatever it is, I can be totally impolite, I can be totally rude. I probably can't do any of those things, but... What?
The subtlety that beguiled Eve was her perception. Fruit was good to look at, probably tasted good. Everything, all the senses said, this is good. Yet the one thing that said it wasn't good was God.
Okay. Yeah, you said a minute ago, my thinker says, that's the voice. Yeah, that's the evil counselor. My thinker says, that's the one that's working. There's somebody talking in there. That's what thinking is.
Okay, now let's we never get to do what I want to do. Let's go to 1 John, chapter 2.
What happened to Big John? I got my marker there. Right?
Well, we'll go back to... We're not ready for Big John yet. We're not ready for Big John. We got to go to Little John. I'm not forgetting it. I got my big marker right there.
I got my Ed Young man.
Now, see, Carolyn and Ronnie are over there conspiring.
Laura Miller says I have to consult with someone.
1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Well, let's go up before. Let's go up. Let's go up to verse 12. I write unto you, little children. That's the word darling infant, technon. I write unto you, darling infants, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's the position of the child. It's still in Egypt, still waiting for something to happen, still waiting for things to improve, still waiting for their life to be fixed. But in spite of all that, their sin is still forgiven.
For his sake, it had nothing to do with
you. Nothing to do with you. Okay, now watch. This is good. I write unto you, and watch. It goes all over the place here. First of all, I write unto little children. Then it goes to all the way over to I write unto you, fathers. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. And I write unto you, young men. The word for there is like young adults. I write unto you, young adults, because you have overcome the wicked one. If you haven't overcome the wicked one, and if, because you don't know who the wicked one is, the wicked one is you and your mind. I write unto you, young men, if you don't know that yet, then by definition, its location is fear. You're not a young adult yet. You're still back here somewhere. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. How have you overcome him? By repentance, by abandonment of self. I write unto you, little children. There, the little children is the word for teenagers. It's paidon or something like that, and it means teenagers. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Bible study doesn't help. Prayer doesn't help. Exhortation doesn't help. You go out and fast and you do everything. But the only thing that gives you any consolation there is that you have known at least once in the past the Father. Got it? I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. Now, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him, or that, it's a better way of saying that, is that you have been with him from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you will overcome the wicked one. Now, so again, in summary, those four places correspond to the four stages, if you will, of rebellion. I write unto you, darling infants, because your sin is forgiven. That is total rebellion, but you've come to the end of yourself. Then I write unto you, teenagers, because you have known the Father. And that's the only thing that keeps you anchored. Some of you know a lot about this. We got some very old teenagers around here. And then I write unto you, young adults, because you have overcome the wicked one, the word of God abideth strong in you. What does it say? You've overcome the wicked one, you are strong, and the word of God abideth continually in you. And finally, I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with him from the beginning. Not because you've been with him as his buddy, but you've been with him. You were Cain that killed Abel. You were Nimrod who chased Esau. You were every one of the evil things that has been recorded in the Scripture. You were the one that tempted Israel in the wilderness. You were the Amalekites. You were Agag. You were every one of those. You were Herod. You were Pilate. You were Peter who denied him. Do you understand? So now when you see the Scriptures, the only place you see you in there is wherever anything evil was done. Oh yeah, my name's in the Scripture. It's a manufacturer's handbook. You go there to learn the principles of life. No, you don't. If you do that, then you're an idiot. You're trying to improve that which is dead. You're a mortician, knowing how to try to put makeup on a dead man. Now, that's just the start. Now watch. Love, not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. In the word love, it's a command. It's a summary command. And it means give breath not to the world. That's agapeo. Don't give breath to anything that's in the world, including, and who's in the world more than anybody? You. Give breath not to the things in the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you're giving breath to the world, the love of the Father has left you. It hadn't left you, but he can't occupy where you are. Do you see this subtlety? Does the serpent beguile Eve? Oh, this doesn't make any sense, because, I mean, how can I live like this? You can't. But he does. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust isn't sexual. It's anything you want something to be different than it is. You want more Bible. You want more understanding. You want more this. You want something to change. You want somebody to change. Anything that you want to be different than it is lust. Do you believe that? Does anybody believe me? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What is the pride of life? Trying to get it right. Trying to do the right thing. And the pride of life it's so total, you can't even recognize it. Because that's why the cross has to be the one that recognizes it, and others need to recognize it in you and speak to it. But if you don't speak to it, if you just say, I can't say that, I can't do that. It's just like having your little child run out in the road and get run over by a car. The reason you can't speak to it is because you don't believe. Lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. Everything is a gift, but you can't stand a gift. You've got to have... You've got to earn the gift. You understand that? It's not some character trait of certain individuals. It's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of all men. I knew we needed to study theology. Let's go to one more scripture real quick. Go to 1 John still, chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And again, anything without form that's talking to you is a spirit. You've got at least, I mean, all of those elders in your mind that are talking, those little voices. That's what it means. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone into the world, out into the world. And the word many there means almost all. I mean, it's like, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Sounds reasonable. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Well, let me tell you something. The Antichrist is happy to confess that Jesus did come in the flesh, and he's wonderfully excited to confess that Jesus will come in the flesh. But he cannot confess that he is come in the flesh. That's why no one, except speaking by the Spirit of the Lord, can say that Jesus is Lord. Now, anybody can mouth those words, but for you to say he is Lord means that everything in the universe is perfect. Everything in your life is perfect. There's nothing left to do. There's no situation you have to change. Now, can you say Jesus is Lord? Anybody can mouth those words. Hereby know you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Therefore, you know, anytime your mind tells you that something is related to time, then you're saying he is not come in the flesh. But the Antichrist loves to confess he will. He did come back there, and he loves to confess he's going to come someday. Do you see how total this is? What?
Nothing. No, I'm just in rapt attention. I'm sorry.
Oh. Are you offended?
No, I just was having some imagery of what my thinker looks like, and Medusa came to mind. It's like all these snakes having this conversation.
Except the Medusa has 70 heads, 70 snakes, not just seven or eight. That's why Jesus said, talking to his believers, to his people that believed in him, you sons, you child of the devil. That's why John the Baptist said, you sons of the serpent. What?
He said, my name is I am, not I was, not I will be. I am.
He didn't say we are.
I am.
Well, and for those of you that don't know, Peter calls us, he said, we are a peculiar people. That's the feminine. The word peculiar is peculiar because it is not like a noun. It's a feminine of the verb form I am. And so the I am can have no modifiers. You can be neither male nor female, young or old, Greek or Jew, black or white. There's no color, there's no age, there's no sex. Because we're a new creation. And all of the new creation is female because it is the bride of Christ. Tom?
Just thinking about it. Bad thing, I know, but...
No, it's not a bad thing. It means you're still back as a child. That's what I'm saying. We have a whole bunch of elderly children. I mean, I'm not encouraging... I don't want you to stop thinking about it. If that's what you do, all I want you to see is that you should repent from all... If you hear... Then thinking about it becomes totally, it's a meaningless thing. You just explode. You be. Well, I don't know if I want to be like that. Well, I didn't want to be like me. I wanted to be nice. Gary's convinced. He still is. I can see it in his eyes. He is convinced that I like to make people mad at me. Well, I must be a madman then. Nobody wants to make everybody in the universe mad at him. Harry gets so mad at me sometimes. I know when he does, because he's like exploding inside. He's wanted to fight me so many times.
Another couple years.
Huh?
Another couple years.
Then you're gonna fight me?
Yeah, as soon as you get weak enough.
As soon as I forget the Chinese shit.
I'm not gonna do it yet. It won't work, but when I think it'll work, I'm going to.
Please, it's so simple, guys, gals. It's so simple. So finished. So wonderful. Why would you neglect this so great a salvation for the little taste of a bowl of porridge where it says, this is good. This isn't good if you understand it. It's the worst news possible because it kills you. You can't justify ministering to self ever again. Oh, no, this is good news for modern man. Well, then you've heard the wrong gospel. It's the gospel. The word gospel means good news, but it's the gospel of God. It's good news to God. It's really bad news to the human race. Well, nobody else says that. I don't care. A lot of people know it, but they're afraid to say it. What?
I'm thinking about a pit of snakes. You know, people prefer to land, wither around, or ride around it in a snake pit than to accept the freedom that's been given.
If your mind doesn't have anything to... If you neglect your mind, that's the whole point. You neglect it. Neglecting those things that are behind. That part that's behind is your mind. You neglect it. And if it, even neglecting, you press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, but that's, you're not pressing. You're not doing it. Christ in you is everything. But if you can't neglect those things that are behind, doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means where you are in that child, adolescent, young man, and father. Write your emails to Gary. Take a big guy.
Bye.